Would you open the Word of God to the book of Romans this morning, the book of Romans, and this is Vision Sunday, and pretty important date in the life of our church this year, and I'm glad all of you are here. Last Wednesday, I started a series of messages out on the book of Romans. I'm going to preach all the way through the book. And that's going to be the series on Wednesday night. I started that Wednesday night. I gave the introductory thoughts. So I preached through Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. It was just the introduction of the letter. Let me get you caught up quickly. The book of Romans is an epistle. That just simply means it is a letter. The Apostle Paul was not able to be in Rome yet personally to talk and greet the church. You'll notice that as we read. So the best next, they didn't have Facebook back then, they didn't have FaceTime, and they had to write letters. And by the way, that's kind of going away today. We send texts, we can FaceTime with people, we can Skype people. But in these days, the greatest way other than seeing you personally was to write a letter. And so, of course, we understand the human author of this letter was the Apostle Paul, but we know that the author of this book is God. God revealed, inspired His Word. The word inspired means that God breathed. It originated from God to man. He revealed it. That's what revelation is. He revealed His Word to man. And we see that then preservation is what we believe that God teaches, that God keeps His Word to every generation. So I'm thankful God inspired it. It was originated with God. And then He revealed it, He allowed it to be in written form, and now He's preserved it to this generation as He has all through the years. So we understand that this is a letter, humanly speaking, as He's trying to encourage a church that He's not able to speak to like I'm able to speak to you today. He had to write this letter. So as we read this letter, the introduction, He's introducing Himself. In chapter 1, 1 through 7, we see that He introduces Himself. I want you to notice in verse 1, He introduced Himself as a servant. That's interesting to me. You're probably now, the human author of this book is probably one of the greatest Christians that's ever walked, that's ever been on the face of the planet. You could not touch a part of His body without touching a scar. And that scar was placed on His body because He absolutely gave God His all, gave His body. He's the same man that was lifted up into the third heaven that was stoned at Lystra. We know this is the same man that started so many churches. He was a great, mighty, power man and a tool in God's hands. But I want you to notice He did not reveal Himself that way. He did not introduce Himself that way. He introduced Himself as a servant. That's powerful to me. If we have credentials, we're going to show it. We're going to show it quick. I'm going to say, hey, you know who you're talking to, buddy? Hey, let me tell you, we like to let people know who we are, what we are, what we know. Paul didn't do that. He said, I'm just a lowly servant. There's a message right there. Then he said he not only was a servant, but I want you to notice he was submissive. He said, I was called to be an apostle. He was submissive to the Lord. Then we see he was separated. Verse 1, all this is in verse 1. He was separated into the gospel. So we introduced Paul Wednesday night. Then he goes on to introduce the Lord. He introduced the Lord. Notice in verse number 3, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God. He wanted everyone to read this letter to know that Jesus Christ was God, co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with the Father. That's who our Savior is. That's who God is. God robed Himself in flesh, came to this earth as a man, Jesus Christ, sinless, perfect. And He came here to be born of a virgin, and He lived a sinless life. He was wrongfully tried, wrongfully accused, wrongfully put to death, but He went and died the death of the cross. And then after 3 days, praise God, He raised from the dead. And we understand that's who our God is. You cannot be saved. I will not be. You will not be saved. Anybody we love cannot be saved without accepting the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So the Apostle Paul introduces himself. He introduces the Lord. He speaks about grace. But I want you to notice verse number 8. The Bible says after the introduction, here's what he says. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, that's an amazing statement, isn't it? And notice, not only he just said it, we know the word of God is true, but notice he put like an exclamation. He said, for our God is my witness. In other words, he said, I'm not just telling you this, God's my witness. He knows it's true. He said, whom I serve. He said, here's what he said. He said, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayer. Think of the power of that. Making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Notice these words. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'll help now. Speak through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As I read this passage of scripture, one thought comes to mind. Now let's humanize Paul just a minute, because he is a human. He's just like us. He understands what it means to want. He understands how to have needs. He understands how to be emotional. He understands what is associated with a church. And by the way, when he speaks of this church at Rome, he's not talking about a building. He's talking about a group of people. So when he said, I'm coming longing to see you, he's not saying I'm coming longing, I really want to come and see that building. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm longing to see you, people, flesh. And when I read this passage of scripture, one thing sticks out as I've studied it and I've read it and I've been preparing to preach through this book, and I think this is dynamic just because God reveals these things. But here's the thing that I can't get past. You read the desire and the passion that the Apostle Paul has for these people. He said it time and time again, I long to see you. I've been trying to get there, but I've not been able to get there. I want to see you. And he said, then when I get there, he said, there's a reason for me wanting to get there. I want to see you. I want to be there with you. I want to labor with you. He had a passion for this church at Rome. And I believe that's very applicable today, because I can speak for myself. I just want you to know I'm very passionate about you. I'm very passionate about this church. I'm very passionate about everyone that makes up the Tiftonia Baptist Church. So I understand in a slight way how he's feeling. And I hope and pray that you feel the same. And I pray, as we look at this passion, this desire that he has for the church, I'm asking God to work in our lives on Vision Sunday, that he'll work in such a way that his passion will motivate us. And just simply the message is this: to be passionate about our church. To be passionate about our church. To be passionate about Tiftonia Baptist Church. Again, let me clarify, that's not these buildings. When I say we're passionate about this church, the Tiftonia Baptist Church, that means that is in flesh form. That means there's skin on it. That means that is Mike Wood. That means that that is Tony Hicks. That means that that is Jeremiah Rogers and Jalen and Maddox and Devin and Peyton and Miss Donna and the Morrisons. You get my point. It's not a building. It's people. It's people that we know and love. Are we all different? Yes, we're all different. We all have different preferences. We all have different likes. But one common denominator is, when we know the Lord, we have him as our denominator. We all, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God, and he's constantly working in our lives to make us more like we ought to be. I'm thankful for that little child song, for he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. How many of you feel like you've arrived as a Christian? Would you please stand? I'd like for you to sign my Bible. There's not one here. There's not one on this planet that has arrived. He's working on us. So by the way, let me just explain this to you. If he's worked in your life up to this point, he'll finish the job. Let him do it. Yield to him and let him do it. But as we speak about this group of people that we call Tiftonia Baptist Church, we're a family. The Bible says we're the family of God. We should call each other brother and sister. Now, I have an earthly sister. I have a biological sister. I love her. There are times that if you're around us, you might be questionable whether she loves me or I love her. But that doesn't mean that we don't love each other. And by the way, that doesn't mean that everybody in this church is going to agree on every little preference. My sister and I have totally different views about some things, but it does not change the fact I love her. And I can't speak for her, but I think I can. She loves me. So some people have this idea. Well, I tell you right now, so-and-so, I just don't love him because he just don't think like I do. Well, what about your husband? What about your wife? They don't always think like you. You have disagreements, don't you? You don't always agree on things, but that doesn't mean you don't love them. That means you work through those things. And by the way, if we would listen, maybe they're not right, we're not right, we're just different. So we think about church, man, we got a passion about our church. He's passionate about their faith, their work, their labor. He's passionate about it. And I want us to be passionate about our church. We should be passionate about our church. Listen, the passion and desire Paul had for the Lord and God's people in the church, his desire and passion for that church in Rome and every church that he was involved in should challenge us. That's the message today, just to challenge us. What? To be passionate about the church. We live in a day, and I'm being honest, where the majority of people, where they have a take it or leave it attitude with the church. Sunday's no big day for most people. There used to be a time when it was the Lord's day. By the way, it's still a big deal to us. We make a big deal about it. The Lord's day is the Lord's day. It should be, look here, it should be given to the Lord. It should be the Lord's day. 6 days he worked, seventh was rest. He said it's the Lord's day. By the way, I asked the teenagers today, how long are y'all in school every day? A couple of you said 9 hours. 9 hours in school. I was in school 8 hours a day. Y'all do that a week? That's 40 hours. How many hours do we watch television? How many hours does these young people play games? How many hours does these gangs play sports in a week's time? Now, I'm going somewhere. And if we're lucky, y'all ready, 40 hours of school, many adults are 40 hours in work. If we're lucky in this day, it's like pulling teeth to get the people to church 4 hours a week. 4 hours. Four. Four. 4 hours. We have gotten into a society that we were brought up in, a society on biblical principles where the church as a whole, and now I'm talking about the Lord's Day on church, people got passionate. But now we live in a society where people can take it or leave it. And many are leaving it. Can I say? It's even hard in this day. I'm not going to be pessimistic, but I'm just going to be honest. It's hard in this day even to get people excited and passionate about the church that regularly attend every week. It's hard to cultivate in our lives because we have so much grind. We've got so much going on in our lives. It's hard in this day for people that even regularly attend for us to be passionate and absolutely excited about the things of God. I'm going to tell you something. That's why you need to be here tonight. I'm going to tell you what happened to me when Laura and I watched that video. I'd forgot some things. But I'm going to tell y'all. I'm going to just tell you. Here's what happens to me. I get on a pity party sometimes. You ever get on a pity party? You know what I like to say? It ain't nobody listening. Laura, we're not making a difference. We need to go back to West Virginia. I can hunt all the time, fish all the time. Ain't nobody listening. We're not making a difference. This thing's, we're sacrifice. And look, that's all selfish. But by the way, we're human. And I feel like, I can't speak for her, but I feel like this sometimes. You know what? Y'all ever had a whooping? God whooped me yesterday. As I was watching that video, I got so convicted and I got so excited. Sometimes we think we're not making a difference. Can I help every bus worker? You drive a bus, you work on Wednesday night. Listen to me. You might say, these kids, listen to me. God's using you. See, we want instant results. Instant. We want to see visible, instant results. But you know what happens when it takes a few years? I don't think he would mind this. I probably shouldn't, but I am. There's a young man that usually sits right here on the end of this pew right here. His name's Chris Saunders. I knew Chris. I met him through our children. He went to school. By the way, Chris had no intentions to be what he's doing today. I knew him. You say, how? He lived with us most of the week, most of the weekends for years. And I gradually seen God soften his heart. Jana, when we first got here, and I don't think she would mind this, but probably a couple years after we got here, Jana was almost pretty much, for the most part, out of the teen ministry, wasn't really involved. And I'm going to tell y'all, when Laura and I seen that video last night, and those two young people, like many others here, stood in front of this church, and God had given them a precious baby. And they're standing before this congregation, before God, and says, we're dedicating our child. I'm going to tell you something. That's nothing mystical. I'm going to tell you what that means when a parent comes and dedicates. They're saying, we are dedicating ourselves to the Lord. Amen. And you know what? God convicted me right there and said, you know what he said very kindly? He said, shut your mouth, Mark. He said, it ain't about you anyway. Shut your mouth. He says, I'm working. And you need to get excited about it. Amen. Everybody here needs to get excited about what the church and what you are doing as a group of people. We are making a difference. Miss Janet stood up Sunday night and gave a testimony, and she'd seen somebody in the community. And he said to her, always said, yeah, y'all are that church that's running those buses all over the air. He said, just want you to know, we appreciate what you're doing. We ought to get excited about that church. That does excite me. That encourages me. He says, I'm passionate about the church. I pray his desire, his motive, his excitement will rub off on us this morning. Can I just give you three things quickly? Number one, I find his thankfulness here. Now, this is also what convicted me because, you know, I understand if you're a leader, if you're a pastor, if you're anybody in a place of authority, you're never satisfied or you should never be satisfied. You're always pushing, you're always, and by the way, many times I'm viewed and I'm guilty. Many times I'm pessimistic because I neglect the things that are good and I'm always trying to fix the things that are wanting. But if I'm not careful, I'll be a pessimist and I'll forget this beautiful thing that Paul did here and it spoke to me, church, and I think it will all help all of us. I want you to notice what he said first. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you. We find a thankfulness here. And I want to just say this before you in front. I'm weak here and I want to work out. But I want everybody to look at me. Eyeball to eyeball. From the youngest child to the oldest adult, I want you all to know I thank you. I am grateful for you. For every woman that works back there in that nursery. And I felt awful last week. Preached an hour and 15 minutes. And we were all, I don't know how much fun y'all was having, but I was having fun. But I promise you the nursery workers wasn't having fun. And I told Laura when I went home, I said, I praise God for every lady. You know, I don't tell y'all that enough, but I want everybody here to know I appreciate you. I'm thankful for you from picking up a piece of trash in the parking lot to preaching or even teaching a Sunday school lesson. Listen to me. He says, I'm thankful for you. And I want all of you to know, as I read those words, I was convicted in my own heart because I don't tell you enough. I'm thankful to God for you. He had a thankful spirit. He was grateful for what is done. He didn't say, well, we're not doing this, and we're not doing this, Brother Don, and I'm not satisfied with this. He didn't say that. He said, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for what we are accomplishing. I'm thankful for what we are doing. I want you to notice his thankfulness. He was grateful for these people. He was grateful for their faith. Notice his rejoicing in verse 8. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for y'all. Now, I want you to notice this. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I'm not saying this, but I want you to know, our faith is being spoken of around the whole world. This little church in Chattanooga, Tennessee is making a difference, and people are speaking of our faith throughout the world. You say, why, Pastor? Because we're not keeping it in. We're not keeping it in. We're not just keeping it in. We're trying to bless our community. We're trying to bless our state. We're trying to bless our country. We're trying to reach out to the ends of the earth. And why is that? Because it's your faith. It's your work. It's your giving. It's your labor. I thought of this. You're going to see some pictures tonight of some precious little children that used to come here. Breaks in my heart to think that they're no longer here. They were precious kids. We've seen them grow. But now, y'all just stay with me. They're in Pennsylvania. But because of some love and some concern in a church that wasn't just interested in just keeping us four and no more, we reached out to this family, and this is a family that definitely never would have looked for a church in Pennsylvania if they'd have moved. More than likely, we'd never heard another good thing about them. But I want all of you to know, because of love and a work and a faith and a desire of this church, and that means a group of people, not just one or two, they're now in a good church riding on the buses every Sunday in Pennsylvania. It's, well, they're not here. It's okay. Tiftonia Baptist Church, and many of you have your fingerprints on them. That's what I'm talking. If you can't get excited about that, you're dead. If you can't get encouraged about that, then I don't know what you're going to get. You're going to have to go out and try to play the lottery and win it before you get excited. And by the way, I don't encourage you to do that either. Hey, listen to me. I want you to sit throughout the whole world. He said, your faith has been spoken of around the whole world. We were in Guyana this year. We're in the Bahamas this year. Our missionaries are going all around the world because of your giving, because of your faith, because of this church right here. The faith, the Jesus, the Christ of this church is being spoken of around the world. That encourages me. He was excited. He said, I'm thankful for that. He rejoiced in the fact that they were reaching around the world. By the way, church, we're reaching around the world. I want to continue to be more of a force in this community than we've ever been. We have bus ministry. We have children ministry. We've got a Lexi and Grove ministry. We have a Bible club ministry in the public school. My goodness, we have a Sunday school ministry. We have a teen ministry. We have children ministry. There's so many things that we have here that's reaching around the world. His thankfulness, his rejoicing. But I want you to notice verse 9. The Bible says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, there's the key there, without ceasing. You know what that tells me? He had some resolve. He not only was rejoicing, but he had some resolve. You know what he said? I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm not going to cease praying. You know what that tells me? That tells me that he was going to do everything and anything he could to aid the well-being of that church. By the way, I ask you, you say, Pastor, I'm not able to work the nursery. I'm not able to get on the bus. I'm not able to do certain things. But you ought to be aiding us in prayer and in spirit. He was absolutely resolved to stick with it. There are times, there's things that happens in our lives that affects us. They're life-shattering moments. And I know I said this a few weeks ago, and I was talking to these young men, and I said, you know, there are things that's going to try to rock and shatter your life. They're life-shattering. Sin is real. People making the wrong decisions is real. And that affects a family. One of the things that I fear and I'm burdened about the most is a couple, a family, a wife and a husband. One of them excited, one of them not. Because I'm going to tell you what normally happens. The one that's not excited always drags the one that is excited out. They always do. The negative, for some reason, always drags the positive down. So I say to every man, every husband, both of you ought to be positive. But I see it all the time. I see one on fire, one not on fire, and the next thing you know, something happens, because that is a breeding ground for sin. That's a breeding ground for temptation. That's a breeding ground for your marriage to get very weak. And there are things like that that happens, and what saddens my soul is ones that were here, they're continuing here, they were right here beside us and with us and serving and making a difference, they're no longer here. Paul said, you must resolve. By the way, this world's not your friend. It's not always going to be the sun going to be shining. You're going to have to deal with some difficulties. But Paul realized, he said, no, my resolve is I'm sticking to it. In other words, he said, I'm going to dance with the one that brought me. There are days, I'm going to tell every church member here, you're not going to feel like getting up and coming to church. You're not going to feel like getting up and serving the Lord. You're not going to feel like putting money in that offering plate. You're not going to feel like getting up and praying. You're not going to feel like, hey, getting up and encouraging somebody. You're not going to feel like getting up and coming over here and working in the nursery, but I'm going to tell you, do it anyway. Amen. I've not always wanted to get up and go to work, but you know what? A lot of times we do. Well, a lot of people don't now. They just call out. Somebody say amen right there. Resolve. You say, Pastor, what are we trying to teach these young people? Well, all you young men, look at me. I'm going to be honest with you. God's never blessed a quitter. I'm going to tell you all, though, it's easier to quit. Your marriage will be easier to quit. Your work will be easier to quit. And being a Christian is easier to quit. But it's not worth it. It's worth getting you some backbone, like an oak log, strong. Say, boy, I tell you what, I don't feel like it today. But Maddox, I'm going to do what's right because it's right. And I love the one that loves me. Resolve. I can't say to every one of you that the sun's always going to shine. There's never going to be any clouds. There's never going to storm. All of us are going to face that. But Paul said, I'm resolving. Right now, I've continued to pray for you. Not only did he say, I want to continue resolve that he was going to pray and do anything he could aid. I want you to know, he also, as you read these eight verses here, you realize something that really sticks out is he not only will say, well, I'll pray for you. He wanted to be there beside them. There's something about serving together. There's something about not talking about it, but doing it. Now, again, there's some of you say, well, Pastor, I can't do those things anymore. Get it. I'm 44. There's things I can't do like I used to do. But there's always something here everybody can do. And I encourage you to get involved. Serve together. There's something about, I've been reading a book, and you know, there was a movie put out, but I read the book about a Navy SEAL, and I read that book. I just finished it last night. My wife got me a lot of historical military books for Christmas. I've been reading these biographies. And here's what he said, there's something about side by side, sweating and crying and laughing and bleeding and working together as a team that brings you closer. And I said, look, if the military can understand that, cannot God's people understand that? There's something about us sweating and bleeding and praying and laughing and joy and rejoicing and worshiping together. It brings a closer bond, something the world doesn't know. And so I say to you, he was resolved to serve the Lord not only in prayer and be consistent, but he wanted to labor with them, help carry the load. I want you to know his thankfulness, but I want you to notice his thoughtfulness. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Now let me just stop here just a second because I want to make something clear. Let's look at the gift a minute, verse 11. He said, I want to come there and impart some gift. Now, I'm going to promise none of us would want to get in a theological debate with the Apostle Paul. Ain't nobody got time for that. Nobody here would want to get in a theological debate with the Apostle Paul. Whatever Bible you think you know, he would rip you apart. He was not only a man that was absolutely knowledge in the Word of God. He had experienced things that none of us have experienced. But let me make something clear. He was not being arrogant here. He was not saying, well, I'll tell you right now, I have something here that everybody here needs. No, that's not what he wants. Here's what he said. He said, I long to be there to impart some gift unto you. Here's how he viewed it. He realized God had given him something. By the way, if you are a Christian that are thinking properly, you realize God reveals things to you. That's called wisdom. He reveals these things when you ask. So obviously the Apostle Paul was a man of great wisdom. He knew things that everybody needed to know. The second thing, he knew things by experience that others didn't know. And he wanted to impart that to somebody else so they could grow from that. You know what he said? I'm willing to give myself. Do you understand when he talks about his thoughtfulness, he wants to give a gift. I'm going to teach y'all something this morning and I think it will go well. I hope you'll understand it. My DNA is not, never used to be to teach lessons. I didn't want to learn lessons myself. But now through the years, I've learned some things. Don't go through anything and not learn a lesson from it. It amazes me how much we go through and all the lessons are right there in front of us and we just kind of go through it and walk away like, no big deal, we're just going to continue to live life. Learn from it. We're studying from Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of a whale. Has anybody ever asked why? I mean, that's a pretty important question to ask. Why? And by the way, those sailors didn't throw him in the sea. He didn't throw himself in the sea. When he got in the belly of that fish, he said, God, you've cast me in the deep. He realized that God was working in his life. Brought him to a place. But he learned something in the belly of that fish that he wouldn't have learned anywhere else. The Apostle Paul said, I want to impart a gift unto you. I told Laura after I watched this video, I said, I'm tired of hearing my voice in it. And all God's people said, well, y'all wasn't supposed to say amen right there. And Laura looked at me and she said, well, honey, she said, it's kind of like this. She said, you know, you are the pastor. She said, we'd probably be in a little bit of trouble if your voice wasn't in it. I pray for y'all. I'm sorry y'all got to listen to me. But I can promise you this. Sometimes I know I come off arrogant. Sometimes I cut people off, and I'm working on that. But I know what Paul's saying. Not trying to be arrogant. He said, he's given me a gift, a desire, some experience, some thoughts, some things to learn from, and I want to learn. And so I'm always in the mind of what can I say, what can I do, what can I say, what can I do, what can I say, what can I do, what can I say. I learned something at the lock-in the other night that I'm too old to be there. So from now on, Brother Edgy, no more, bub. If you're going to do a lock-in, you're going to get somebody else to do it. That's one thing I learned. But the other thing I learned is, you know, these cats right here, y'all encourage me. These guys, you guys. As a northerner would say, you guys. But also, let me say here, remember what we talked about this morning. Remember, we got to have fun. But we got to be serious. There's times to be serious. There's times to learn lessons. If you're always goofing, you'll never learn lessons that you're supposed to learn. So I just thought that from that, I said, look, I have an opportunity to talk to the teenager today. We do an opening. Whoever teaches a lesson, the other person does the opening. And so my lesson this morning, my little opening, my little spotlight was just trying to tell the, and we had all young men in there today, and that's who I want to talk to. I said, these young men are leaders. They don't know it, but they're young, they're destined to be leaders. And so from experience from the other night and looking back in my life as a teenager, I didn't get it. I didn't understand what my pastor knew, and I didn't understand what my youth director knew, but I've often thought they might understand it, but it not, should not be because I'm not trying to convey it to them. We got to try. Someone said, well, I just wish he'd shut up. Everything's a teaching moment. We got to try. We got to try. Paul said, look, the reason I want to come there and speak with you is because I have a gift that I want to impart into you. There's something God has revealed to me. God has given me some things, and I want to help you grow and be established. I think every mom and dad feels that way, don't you? We have moments with our children. We see a weakness there. We see something that's going to lead them astray. I mean, do you not have that desire to impart to them some gift, something that will help change their course? Ought to be the same in our church. So I want to say this. Why do people get mad when we try to help them? You answer that. I can answer that. I'm going to tell you why. We don't like nobody telling us. That's our human nature. We got it. Well, what happens when we don't have it? There's lessons to be learned here in this building every week. You say, well, Pastor, I messed up with a child. Okay, we're not going to get the rope and hoist you, but I'm going to ask you to do this. Learn from it. Learn from it. 1 + 1 = 2. All right, then you take the one out, you don't have two. Okay, Jonah ran and disobeyed God, so therefore he was cast into the water. So the lesson that Jonah needed to learn when he was in the belly of that fish is, you know what caused this? I said no to God and went the other way. There's a lesson right there. Most of my preaching is warnings. Most of my preaching is warning. And by the way, not everybody has to listen to warnings. I can't physically, Paul could not physically walk with those people and guide them and make every decision for them. Just like my wife, you know, I bet you she would love to have me on a joystick. How many of you wives would like to have your husband on a joystick? You know, he'd always be thinking of you. Even the little things. But we're not that way. So, all's he got's his voice. At church, I have opportunity Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night to impart a gift. What you do with that gift is up to you. But I can promise you this, my motive is pure. I'm not seeking more pay. I'm not seeking popularity. I'm not even seeking more power. And neither was Paul. His goal was he wanted to impart into them some gift so they can be established. Isn't that powerful? Why does your Sunday school teacher get up and speak? Well, I don't know. I can't answer that. I hope every Sunday school teacher would say, my motive's pure. I'm not trying to get up and tell them how much I know. That's not going to help them. Imparting them the gift of the Word of God and something God has taught you through that lesson is what that class needs to know. When the KFC teachers go over on Wednesday night, you're not trying to outshine somebody else. We're not seeking some platform or I can do it better than so and so. The goal is you're trying to impart some kind of a gift, some kind of a gift. You're imparting what God has given you and spoke to you so you can help others. My wife and I set our children down many times through the years. Many times through the years. And because we learn from our own mistakes, we set them down many times. I couldn't count how many times as they were in our home. We would set them down out of love and we would impart unto them a gift. We would impart it because of our mistakes. And we learn that 1 + 1 = 2, and they're not going to be exempt. And if they do the same thing, the same result will happen. So the Apostle Paul, out of love, said, I want to be there. I want to impart a gift unto you because I love you, and I'm trying to warn you, and I want you to be established, and I want you to grow. Isn't that pure? Does every Sunday school teacher have that desire? Does every children's church worker have that desire? Does every Kids for Christ worker have that desire? That should be our desire. Why? Because that's pure, that's holy, that's what the Apostle Paul, so we see his thoughtfulness. He was thoughtful of the others. He was thoughtful of his class. He was thoughtful of the other church. He was absolutely wanted to give of himself. What was his goal? Notice this. He said not to seek popularity, not position. He just wanted to see fruit. Look at verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto that I might have some fruit. And then I want you to notice as I close, his truthfulness. His thoughtfulness. I want you to notice, we talked about his thankfulness, his thoughtfulness, but then I want you to notice his truthfulness. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. I want to tell you what, here's what I see out of this. He told him some truth, but here's what he put a line in the sand. He said, I want to make some statements here that are truthful, and this is about my being. Here's what he said. He was absolutely committed to all people. Now let me help our church here just a second. This church will not be great if we only try to cater to the middle class. And I'm going to be honest, I've never been in any church that there's not people like this. Any. Now, those are things we don't talk about, but I'm going to be honest with you, I can hear it and see it when I hear it and see it. Now, I might be kind, and I might not say anything, but I'm going to tell you something. If there's anyone in here that you think that we're not going to reach all people, Greeks, barbarians, wise or unwise, working or not working, you're wrong. And I'm going to be honest, I can tell you how you can tell someone is when they treat the smallest little child that might smell a little bit, and they are the same that goes up to them, and they shake the likes of a police officer, and they shake the likes of a businessman. Y'all with me? It's easy to cater to the middle class or the upper crust. He said, no. He said, I am debtor to all men. Red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in His sight. You want a great church? Be like Paul. We don't see color of skin. And by the way, that amazes me that we live in a day where people will give an absolute proof of a man's character because of the color of their skin. How childish. Like just because they have a darker pigmentation of a skin, it's crazy. He says, no, I want you to know something. He said, we're in it for all people. And I want everybody to know right here, this church will remain great as long as we're after all people. Y'all hear me? All people. And by the way, when all people walk through those doors, I expect all of you to treat them like they're something. That means you don't ignore them when they come by. You shake their hand. By the way, every member in this church, you ought to shake and speak to everybody in this church. When you don't, you're revealing to me who and what you are. Amen, preacher. Pastor, that's not loving and kind. No, it is. Why? It's biblical. He said, I'm debtor to all men. He didn't put himself way up here, Brother Mike, and he didn't put anybody else way down here. He said, I'm debtor to both the Greek, the wise, the unwise, the poor, the rich. He was committed to that. By the way, church, look at me. I'm committed to that. We're going to reach all people. You know why? Because the gospel's for all people. All people. There's no big U's, little me's, big me. There's none of that. We're all sinners in need of the Savior. And boy, Paul, probably one of the greatest Christians ever walked, he realized that. So he was committed to reach all people. And let me just say this as I close. He had a conviction. What was it? It should be the conviction of this church. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Here's what he was committed to. His heart conviction was, is he knew everybody needed to know Jesus. That was his conviction of life. There's some businesses, there's some restaurants. You know, we've been hearing that there's going to be a Chick-fil-A or a Zaxby's coming into this area for what, years? Somebody just needs to hurry up and put that thing up there and let's get it here. Amen. Can I encourage some of y'all to pray about that so we quit talking about it and we'll get a Chick-fil-A or a Zaxby's in here? And by the way, I'd rather eat somewhere else than fried chicken. But anyway, hey, it would do well here. And I'm for Chick-fil-A. It's a good Christian business. But you understand with me, y'all business people that are entrepreneurs, you know what you're always trying to do? You're always trying to think of where. You know, these Dollar Generals has popped up everywhere. I mean, they popped up everywhere. They are onto something. They not only have everything you can go in there and buy, they now have produce there. They've got stuff that you can go buy. So instead of driving all the way up to Walmart, if you didn't live on this end there, you could just go right here to Dollar General. Y'all with me? Woo. In West Virginia, in Talkett, West Virginia, they put a Dollar General. I noticed right there as you're coming in from Princeton, that little area there, Speedway or Lorona, they put a Dollar General there. Now, I'm going to tell y'all what's happened. The home office or the board or whoever owns, the owners of Dollar General, they are always trying to look and see where they can advance their stores to fill this. Right? Now, I wish Christians would think the same. What should we always be thinking to advance and reproduce? You know what? We need some more Tonys running around here. And Miss Vicky says, God help us. We need some more Mikes around here. We need some more Miss Abby's around. We need some more Miss Cindy. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? This church's conviction ought to be that we're trying to reproduce ourselves and see people saved. Advancing. Not only here in the valley, but in the state of Tennessee. Hey, we border Georgia. Hey, I even love, hey, listen, I know y'all are crazy. Somebody says I'm a Yankee, but I've got another little history about that with West Virginia. We'll talk about that later. But I want you to know something. You know when God gets a hold of your heart, if you're a hillbilly or you're Southern and you still love Yankees. We ought to love Yankees. And we would love and be encouraged to see every Yankee get saved. We've got some here. Could you imagine if they weren't saved in here? No. So church, what's your conviction? Our conviction, I'm going to tell you what, let's keep our conviction right. Here it is. We are to see people saved. Nursery workers, look at me now. You say, well, Pastor, why are we doing the nursery? For souls. Could you imagine me trying to contend with 6 babies out here crying? Can you really tell me that parents are going to be able to listen to the impartation of gift if the baby's there? No. Bus workers, can I say, you say, Pastor, why am I getting up here early on a cold bus or in a hot bus in the summer? Why do I keep doing this? Souls. Pastor, why am I still going over on Wednesday night and I'm teaching that class over there on Wednesday night and I feel like 30 of those kids aren't listening to me, but the one will. Souls. That's our conviction. The gospel still works. He said, for I'm not ashamed. That was his passion. He wasn't ashamed. Then he realized the power. He said, it is the power of the gospel. Clay, you help me. That's a Greek word. Power, dunamis. That's the same word that we get our dynamite word from. Am I right? Dunamis. You know what that means? Dynamite power. The gospel's dynamite power. We've seen people's lives and homes change because of not our power, but the dynamite power of the gospel. He realized the power. I understand the power. But then he realizes the presentation. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the what? The power of God to what? To save. We don't save people. The gospel does. And then notice the last verse of that little phrase that I wrote or read. It's shared from what? Faith to faith. Do you know how people grow? That means people like Jonah shares his faith to somebody else. And then that person, once they hear that faith from Jonah, he might share it to Angie. And then Angie has that faith. And so you know what she does? She starts to share that to Miss April. And then April gets that faith and then she brings that on to somebody else. See, that's how the church grows. Somebody says sometimes, well, we're just not seeing the growth like we want to. Well, I have a question for every church member here. How are you helping it grow? We all should reach one. We reach one. We reach the world one by one. It's by faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, the faith. That's one other thing. As I watch this video and I'm closing, I thought, man, we ought to have more people. We ought to have seen more. I'd like to have seen more. And of course, that video is not going to show everything. But I thought this, we're making a difference. One by one, by one, by one. Now let's not stop adding and let's multiply. And we've even seen multiplication. We've seen one. The next thing you know, you get one. You get the whole family, and you get four. Then that family, they get excited, they help another. Maybe the man's able to reach into the man. They get that guy in. Next thing you know what that man's going to do? That man's going to obviously have an influence on his family. So you just went from four to eight. But how does that start? One. The power of one. That's our conviction. Let's stand to our feet.